Has there ever been a time where you're looking forward to a trip? Maybe vacation, maybe it's some kind of special event, but you're looking for it. And you're counting down the days that you get to depart. Now, in between, you got some rough days at work. In between, some of the neighbors are just being unneighborly. But you're still 42 days and 41 days and 40 days and 37. And although there's chaos going on in your world, you say, hey, I'm looking forward to the day I can get away from this mess and go just cool my feet in the river in the mountains or on the sand on the coast. Has that ever happened to you? That's literally what Paul is talking about when we come to Philippians chapter 3. And just for a few moments, I want to talk to you about our permanent abode in heaven in a sermon I'm entitling, I Feel Like Traveling On. Let me give you just a couple of thoughts. And you say, preacher, you know what time it is? Yeah, don't worry about that clock. It's going to be there when we're done, all right? Four thoughts. Number one, notice our residence. Guys, if you'll give it to me on the back screen. Our residence, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. People are either earthbound and earth-focused, or they're heaven-bound and they're heaven-focused. Now, you look at that word conversation. It literally means citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven. Caesar Augustus had conferred on Philippi the status of a Roman colony. They were known as a colony of Rome. And they were proud. They were strutting their stuff, if you will, about we are Roman citizens. Paul tells the believers at Philippi, and he tells us, you're not just Americans. First and foremost, you are citizens. You belong to heaven. You know the old song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. An angel beckons me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Because God never intended for us to feel at home, because we're just temporary residents headed home to heaven. Amen? If you ever go on a hiking trip, a lot of times you take a backpack with needed items for your trip. The water, the whatever you do. I try to do as little hiking as I possibly can. What I do know, if I ever were to go do one of these hiking trips, I'm not going to put rocks in my backpack. Now listen, we are on a journey headed toward heaven. And when we are putting rocks in our backpack, it's just going to slow us down. You say, what are some of those rocks? When we are more concerned about earthly treasure than we are eternal treasure, it's a rock that's going to slow you down. When you're more concerned with being somebody here than somebody there, it's going to slow you down. When you got grudges because this person didn't do this, didn't treat me fairly, it's a rock that's just slowing you down. Number one, our residence. Number two, best part of the verse, notice our Redeemer. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven isn't about a place. Woo! Heaven is about a person. And the believer is to be eagerly awaiting seeing Jesus in heaven. Who are we waiting for? Paul listed, look what it says. Savior. One of Caesar's favorite titles, he wanted to be called Savior of the World. If you got some of the coins in that time period, it would have had Caesar's image and an inscription underneath saying, Savior of the World. Hey, I got news for Caesar. He's no the Savior of the world. I know the Savior of the world. And the rest of the verse tells it. Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. He calls him Savior. Calls him the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, during times of disaster, in this time period, they would look to the emperor. Earthquakes, famines, floods, war. Hey, emperor, we are submitting to you, and we need your direction, and we need your protection during this time of disaster. Well, I'm saying I have a whole lot better Savior than some earthly man. It's the Lord Jesus. And in times of difficulty, I'm looking for my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen? What he says. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is Christos. It's the word for Messiah. So he's contrasting. Earthly residents have earthly saviors. Heavenly residents have heavenly saviors. And we are depending upon the Lord. Now look back at this, and I'll move on. Our conversation is in heaven, for whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word look, if you look it up in the original, it means to eagerly await. Here's what that means. Remember when you were 15 and 3/4? You know what you were eagerly awaiting? Oh, hot diggity dog, when I turn 16, I can drive the mama's old station wagon. Woo! Legally, I can drive it. Woo! Ladies, remember when you were 18, 19, 21, and you were convinced God was sending that person, and you were awaiting that day where they would open up those doors and you would come on and you would exchange your last name for, you were eagerly awaiting. That's what he's saying. We're in America. We're living in North Carolina. We're living in whatever municipality or county that we live in. But this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number one, y'all are listening good, our residence. Number two, our Redeemer. Thirdly, this might be, I don't know, it's one of my favorite points. Notice our refashioning. Look at verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like his glorious body? According to the working thereby, he is able to subdue all things unto himself. The older I get, and some of you are going to say, I don't know nothing about nothing. The older I get, the more aches and the more pains that I have. Yesterday morning, I said, Tracy, I need some aspirin. I was like, can you find me, I don't care if it's whatever, if it's Advil, just give me something to deal with. Anybody else in this room feel like this sometimes? I was like, give me something to deal with the pain. I'm not on drugs, I just on aspirin. Look what it says. Who shall change our vile body? Talking about our sinful body. Change from mortal decaying to immortality. Change from weakness to strength. Change from dust, to glory. He's going to, because of who our Savior is, who our Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to change this decaying, this falling apart body into, you see, look what it says, fashioned like unto his glorious body. Who is it that conquered death, hell, and the grave? It was Jesus. Who is it that exhibited a resurrected body? Who is it that displayed the brilliance of a transfigured body? And who is it that is going to change our mortal body? our old body, our perishing body, into his glorious body likeness. Who is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know him as Savior. Amen. You say, how's he going to do it? Look, last part of the verse. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So here's how it's going to work. God is not going to ever had you were writing a paper or something and you just messed it up and you wadded it up and you threw it in the trash. Done that a few hundred or thousand times. God doesn't discard our body. He transforms our body. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it, because we're going to go into the grave. Our spirit and our soul goes to heaven, but our body goes into the grave to dust. And he's going to transform our earthly body and fashion it like Jesus' body. Jesus knows every strand of your DNA. Jesus knows every atom that is in your body, every cell that is in your body. Paul says, our mortal bodies will be transformed to the likeness of Jesus' glorified body. And I'm saying, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll be able to see him a whole lot better than I can now, because I'll have glorified eyes. Amen. We say, preacher, is that just wishful thinking? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him like he is. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, for whatever reason, you found this old 1952 Chevy pickup truck. Had some rust on it, had some wear and tear on it. But you said, no, 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 that just needs some TLC. And you started putting some time into it. You started putting some effort in. You started putting a whole lot of money into it. And you refashioned that truck. So, hey, it's not, there's no rust. Hey, I made it over. It's beautiful. Small glimpse. That's what Jesus is going to do with your body. Now, you'll be you. If you're tall, dark, and handsome, you'll still be tall, dark, and handsome. If you're Mary, you're not going to come back Steve, or you're not going to come back Cindy. You will be you, but you'll be refashioned you. You will be transformed. The extreme makeover, you will be the best version of you that you've ever imagined you to be. Now, let me just throw out, and I know what time it is. Let me throw out one other thought about the new you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, they're going to put it on the screen. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. When you get your glorified body, and I don't understand this, you're going to radiate his glory. Remember Moses, Exodus 34? Went up, spent time with God. Came down, he glowed. He shone so bright, he had to put a veil over his face because you're blinding me. That's what you're going to be like with your glorified body. Matthew 17, Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, Peter, James, and John, they're up there with Jesus. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. One day, You'll be a shining immortal in the kingdom of God. Your face will radiate. Your clothes will radiate. You'll be brilliant and bright as the sun. And glory, hallelujah. No more aches. Woo! Got to shout to my own sermon. No more pains. No more Advil. No more, hey, honey, I need something because I'm hurting, because you'll have everything you'll need in your glorified body. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. Our residence, our redeemer, our refashioning. Let me give you one more. You're looking at Philippians chapter 3, the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. But men put the chapter breaks, not God. If they would have asked Neil Jackson would have said, chapter 4, verse 1, supposed to be in chapter 3, verse 22. You messed up on that one. But they're probably smarter than me. But I think 4:1 goes with 3:21. Look what it says. Therefore, in light of 20 and 21, you're not citizens of America, you're citizens of heaven. In light of who your Savior is, in light that you are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be raised incorruptible. In light of that, look at 4 verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. No matter what the Caesar throws at you, no matter what government throws at you, stand fast in the Lord. No matter what Rome puts on you, if they're burning Christians at the stake in Nero's garden, stand fast in the Lord. No matter what your body can no longer do, you hear me? Stand fast in the Lord. No matter the struggles that you face, the opposition that you face, the difficulties that you face, stand fast. Stand firm. You're going to heaven. Woo! Jesus has prepared. You're going to get a brand new body. Hey, glory, hallelujah. Stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast. There's a great energy in the power of hope. You say, preacher, you can try to encourage me all you want. Not being encouraged today. There's great power in hope. Abraham, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Lived in a tent. How did he make it? Because he had the hope of the promise of Almighty God. Moses, look at, hey, I got treasures in heaven, so therefore I can give up the treasures of Egypt. Moses, how can you do that? Because I got the hope of the promise of God. Oh, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus, how are you doing that? He had the promise of God the Father. My word for you today, stand fast in the faith. I don't know what's going to come tomorrow. Don't know what the stock market's going to do. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to get a brand new body, and this vile body is going to be transformed to be like the Lord Jesus. And he says, stand fast in the Lord. When the Titanic sank, more than 1,000 people went into their watery grave. It was challenging because they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the means that we do to communicate with the family who was lost and who had perished. The White Star Line office in Liverpool, England, set up this humongous board, and every day at a certain time, they would come and post on that board under the heading, "Known to be saved," on one side, and on the other side of that board, "Known to be lost." The crowds would gather about the appropriate time, and they wanted to see, is my family on the known to be saved side, or are they on the known to be lost side? The Titanic, you had first class passengers. Oh, they were living in the lap of luxury. You had second class passengers that were just kind of middle of the road. And you had third class passengers that were rich enough to get on the boat. But they weren't rich like those other people. When the boat went down, it didn't matter what class passenger you were. All that mattered, were you on the known to be saved list, or were you on the known to be lost list? Friend, can I tell you, all that matters, are you saved? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Hey, if you're first class, woo, great. Second class, third class, or no class. If you know